News Talk 1340, KROC AM on Rochester's Good Morning. I'm Brent Ackerman in for Rich Peterson this week. It's 8:38. We have a couple of guests in the studio right now from the Rochester Area Foundation. We have the president, Joanne Stormer, and of course, usual RAF guest, Steve Borkart, is here as well. And we're going to be talking about National Volunteer Week. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Stand in, Rich.
That's right. That's right. I just have to remember where all the buttons are.
Well, at least you're more than usual, though.
That's right. Well, I've been doing this a while, 30-some years, so I've been around the block a few times. Let's talk a little bit about Volunteer Week. I didn't know there was such a thing as National Volunteer Week, but it doesn't surprise me. There should be.
Well, I thought this was a great time to have the president in. I don't think you've been on the show with us before. Have you at one time early on?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
But she has been a volunteer coordinator in previous lives in other jobs, and she knows the volunteer business real well. And this is, volunteers are huge in our nation.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they make everything go. And we have some fun facts to talk about in a minute. But I thought it was a great opportunity to, for Joanne to come on the radio and let your listening audience hear the president of the Rochester Area Foundation.
Thanks, Steve. Hey, the theme this year for National Volunteer Week is Celebrate Service. And it's really the Points of Light, a national organization, has been doing this for a number of years. And organizations in the nonprofit world would actually not survive without volunteers. And you know what's great about Minnesota is that they're third among the nation in terms of volunteers. And that's a pretty powerful story because, again, a number of nonprofits would not be able to survive without them. And I'll just give you an example. Years ago, I was the director of volunteer services for the Red Cross in the Wisconsin area, and I managed 5,500 volunteers, and they helped us in terms of blood drives, in terms of disaster, in terms of training and doing, you know, swim lessons and all kinds of things. And without them, that organization, even nationally, the Red Cross has three or four or five times more volunteers than they do paid staff. And without those folks, they wouldn't be able to survive.
So how does technology play into this? Is it easy for people to sign up to volunteer via websites and things like that, as opposed to the old calling trees that I think used to have?
Absolutely. Great notion there. Especially here in the Olmsted County, United Way has a great tool that you can look on their website. You can actually go there and look at different options that exist. The other way you can do it, certainly, is to just simply call up nonprofits in Olmsted County, and you will be able to see places that you could volunteer. And the volunteers, you know, there was a time years and years ago where people had a consistent volunteer time at once a week or twice a week and throughout the whole year. Nowadays, as we people are very busy, we have very busy lives, lots of children, you know, doing lots of things. And so maybe you want to volunteer once a month and have an opportunity to do that. You could work at Channel One. You could work at through United Way. You could work at the Rochester Area Foundation. You could work at Bear Creek Services. So look for the thing that you're passionate about and also be able to give both time, treasure, and service to that organization.
Now, what about service organizations or groups? A lot of times as a group, they may volunteer. What percentage is just individuals, and what percentage of your volunteers are from established groups? Like, let's say, a Kiwanis Club or something
Like
that.
Okay. That's an interesting question. I will say this, that as over time, that the groups of Kiwanis and Rotary, et cetera, those kinds of groups are I don't want to say struggling, but have been looking for more people to be involved as volunteers and to be members. So member organizations over time have, because of that consistent every week or every month or every 3 weeks or something like that, people find it more and more difficult to be that consistent. Yet at the same time, you know, 33% of the residents, or even more than that, in the Olmsted County or in Minnesota per se, are volunteering. It's just how many hours they're doing.
I think there's an excellent point made about service clubs in particular. Yeah. And they, I think most of the organizations like that have seen a decline in membership, and some are quite concerned about it. And the neat thing that they offer mm-hmm. is for somebody that's having a little difficulty figuring out what they might want to volunteer for, but they want to be involved in their community by joining a Kiwanis or a Sertoma or an exchange club or any number of them. They can organize that activity for you, so the search for something to do isn't quite as difficult.
Right.
You have the camaraderie, the fellowship of being with a group of people supporting whichever cause that service club supports, but it's a great way to volunteer. You can always volunteer directly to the service organization in the community, and we have many of them, and they depend on volunteers, and we need to have volunteers serving those folks. But if you don't have one of those organizations that really is passionate for you, a service club can be a great way to leverage your effectiveness.
Absolutely.
Now, we just had a phone call, from a grandmother who said, can you please ask the question, what about like my 13-year-old grandchild? How can they get involved? Now, I know there's programs like SOS, the Summer of Service, I think is what it stands for, mm-hmm. and I know my kids have been through that.
Sure.
What other things are there for kids to do, especially over the summer?
Right, especially over the summer. It's a great opportunity. So a lot of our schools have opportunities during the summer for kids to get engaged in service, and a lot of our nonprofits also have that opportunity. And it may be through a camp. A number of the camps in the area have opportunities for young people to get involved. And, you know, one of the things that I love about getting your young people to volunteer is that's a great way to build your resume. It really is.
Didn't even think about that.
Yeah, and if you're looking to get into a college and you want to get into one of the best colleges in the country or universities, you better have some volunteer experience on your resume, because it's a great way that you are not just focused on one thing, but you have an expansive repertoire. So that's a great opportunity. And it's also a great way for young people once they graduate from high school or college to build their resume and to get a job. And when an employer looks at you with a well-rounded opportunity or a well-rounded resume, you're better than someone who just has one or two jobs.
But not just building your resume, actually, that's really important, but building your skill base is particularly important. When I was your sheriff and I was looking at promoting people to positions of leadership, very often the candidates, the competitors for those promoted jobs, didn't have the opportunity within their experience at the sheriff's office to display leadership or to learn leadership because they had been in an entry-level position. But if I could look and see that they had been president of the church board, mm-hmm. or they were on the hockey board or whatever board in the community that showed that they had experienced leadership and had that experience, that they could prove themselves through these ways outside of their career, it was very valuable. I'm not ashamed to say that volunteering in Rochester Fest for 8 years prior to running for sheriff back in 1990 was very helpful for me. It helped me showcase my abilities. It helped me learn. Providing leadership to a group of volunteers that don't have to be there because their daily paycheck doesn't depend on it is very different than supervising somebody in the paid workplace. Yeah. So volunteerism pays all kinds of dividends, not just for your community, but for your personal development and your resume.
Well, whether it's like a church mission trip or something, sometimes these kids come back from or the adults, leaders with them, and then they say they got more out of it than perhaps the people that benefited from it just because of the experience.
Yeah, I'm kind of giggling because absolutely as a director of volunteers, when people would come into my office and ask to volunteer, they'd be kind of cautious. They didn't want to felt like they were sucked into a position, so they'd try it out, and then they'd come back about 2 months later and say to me, boy, this was really a great, I end up feeling very good about what I do, and I hope that I'm offering people just as much in the community as they're offering me as this volunteer opportunity. And I would also add that piece about getting connected with your church. Mm-hmm. Many churches have volunteer opportunities that are open to young people as well. So I think that's a great place to check in. And then I'd also check in with the United Way, because I know they have a number of opportunities that are listed, and nonprofits often go to them, list a job, and then look for people.
Well, and there's just a whole list of people that really could use volunteers, whether it's Habitat for Humanity or Channel One, who you mentioned, or even upcoming next week, we've got the Litter Bit Better. You know,
yes.
There's all kinds of different things out there, and they're not too hard to find.
Right, exactly. It's just a matter of actually looking. And I think that, again, when I was a director of services, when you look as a volunteer and you walk into a nonprofit, the thing about that is that that nonprofit really needs to take the opportunity to engage you within a few days, or else you'll just sort of say, well, I guess they didn't like me, so I'll just walk away. And so it's really important as the nonprofit organization to really engage those volunteers as best you can.
Now, and if somebody is listening at home and they're saying, well, you know, I don't have a skill set or I would get too tired, there's other kinds of volunteers, too, even from the school districts who are looking for people to read to kids or have kids read to them. I know that my child's school was looking for volunteers to just listen to kids read.
Absolutely, absolutely. So the school system has a great number of opportunities for volunteers. I know the library has a great number of opportunities as well. So there are plenty of opportunities. And I will reiterate that Minnesota is a great state in terms of people who do volunteer. I mean, we're third in the country in terms of volunteering. So keep it up and keep us moving forward. As a community, as a state, I think that's great.
All right. Steve, anything else with the Rochester Area Foundation that you want to share?
Well, we had a bunch of fun facts about different age groups and what have you that we didn't get to, but I don't know that it's really relevant at this point. What's really important is, you know, it's about living a life of gratitude. When you look around you at all the things that you enjoy on an everyday basis, the support systems and the human needs kinds of services that are out there that but for volunteers wouldn't exist, and the notion that every one of us that is enjoying life and in our community is standing on the shoulders of people that volunteered 5 years, 10 years, 20 years ago. And so it's about living a life of gratitude. It's really a great way to live. So it gets you outside of yourself.
Right.
And whatever your problems are just tend to disappear when you're down at Channel One helping them to distribute food to folks that need that help, or when you're over at Ronald McDonald or you're helping at Hope Lodge. I mean, any one of those things, and I shouldn't start naming because then you miss some folks.
But it's giving ideas.
It gets you outside of your own head, and you're helping other people, and it's really a great way to live. Even if you're just doing it for yourself, it pays off dividends for the entire community. So I would just kind of close with that notion that if you're sitting at home thinking, what could I do? It's as easy as picking up the phone. It really is. People really want volunteers, and if you've got anywhere from a half an hour to 10 hours a week, they'll find something, and you'll get outside of yourself, and you'll feel better and be better as a result of doing it.
Well, and another great thing that I don't know if this started back in your tenure or not, but the sentence to serve that goes on through law enforcement is really teaching maybe people that have had a tough break what they can do and what the possibilities are after they get out as far as volunteering, because I think they're looking for things to do, and we read in the paper about what they did at Chester Woods and things like that.
Yeah.
It's been a sensational program. Yes, I had a lot to do with it, but it predated me. So numerous predecessors in that position, back to Chuck Von Wald, deserve credit for that program, and the rest of it just kept it going or grew it or enhanced it or what have you. And it is an outstanding program for all the things you listed. The Veterans Memorial, much of the work was put in by Sentence to Service crews. So it's a way to teach the value of contribution, the value of work. Mm-hmm. Now, work isn't this ugly four-letter word. It's what we do, and it's what it can define your life, or you can define your work, but it's a great thing. So that program is a good deal, no question about it, but there's opportunities from your church to civic organizations and honest folks. If you think the community is run by somebody else, it isn't. It's run by people like you, and you just need to pick up the phone.
And I know we have there's always, it seems, in the community, there's a core group that do an awful lot, and I know that they're always welcoming more help.
Right.
Because there are needs.
Yeah, absolutely. And even if, you know, as Steve said, if you can give an hour, a month, that's a great opportunity to be able to connect with people in the community, to provide service, to help lift up the quality of life in our community. Without volunteers, the quality of life would change differently. And so I think that whatever you can give in terms of your time and talent is a great opportunity. I'd also say that most nonprofits and organizations in our communities have been started by volunteers. As the Rochester Area Foundation 70 years ago was started by volunteers who were interested in changing the quality of life in the community, and that's how the foundation sort of has risen up over those years.
And if everybody just did, you know, a couple of hours a month, imagine the difference that would make.
Absolutely.
And
perfect.
I mean, we're talking as simple as ringing the bells for the Salvation Army at Christmas time. You know, mm-hmm. anything.
Yeah.
Well, that's not so simple. There's a special neck. It's in the wrist. There's a special neck.
You're right.
I was trainable, and I know other folks can be, too.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And it's a proven fact that when somebody's actually ringing, they make more money than when the kettle is just sitting there all by itself.
Right, absolutely, because it's that connection, mm-hmm. that personal connection that you make with someone else, and that's just really important. The way to change things.
All right. So, well, we've talked quite a bit about National Volunteer Week. Let's kind of wrap it up here and just talk about the Rochester Area Foundation. If people would like more information about your organization or to be involved with that, what can they do?
They can simply call, and that number is 507.
Yep.
Did I say the wrong number?
Yep.
Yeah. Sorry.
You might end up in a different state, but
that's 507-282-0203.
Okay.
And our website is www.rochesterarea.org. And we're happy to connect with you and help you in the community. And you know, we have a number of volunteers on committees and work on our boards. And we'd be happy to hear more from folks.
And you're still doing that fundraising.
Absolutely.
I forget what it's called, but it was so effective.
Well, the March Millions is over, and that was effective in one big
area. But I'm talking about where people can take a little bit out of their paycheck.
Yeah, we're still doing We Give 365, an outstanding program for anybody who wants to get involved with the foundation. Again, the foundation is a facilitator organization. We don't have a lot in terms of frontline service providing. We serve all the other nonprofits, both by collecting money and investing it and being able to put out the yield in grants that serve all of our other nonprofits, and in providing other kinds of expertise, strategic planning. We put on an academy for how to develop a nonprofit that's very, very well attended each year. And so we are there to support all the service level nonprofits in the community because it's just so vital to our existence. We welcome your involvement with us.
All right. Well, thank you both for being here, Steve Borkart and Joanne Stormer from the Rochester Area Foundation, our guests this morning on KROC.